We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in to the program. Today we have a wonderful program for you with special guest in studio, Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the owner and CIO with the Glenn team at Infinitas. And here's the phone number. You're going to want to write it down. You may want to reach out to Bruce and the great team right away. You may say, okay, I need to keep this information because here in the near future, we'll need to reach out. But this phone number is good for all around the country. 913-563-7327. That's the Glenn team at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. And with that, Bruce, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be back with you. And like you said, it's good to be in the studio with as hot as it's been recently. Definitely much better inside than out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's, I don't know. I worked with some clients that came in town this week from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they're moving back to the Kansas City area. And I'm like, sorry for the heat wave. It is bad timing on your part. And they're like, yeah, we lived here for a while. So we get a couple of those a year. And I guess this is our second one. So
that's crazy. I think we had 114 degree heat index this week. So
yeah,
pretty uncomfortable.
And I've never felt it that humid. It was like you could see it hanging in the air. It was horrible.
Right.
Anyway, so, okay. So we're whining about our heat wave and our humidity here. So, and it's been pretty miserable. But anyway, so today we're going to be talking about Social Security, and that is always a hot topic for so many of our listeners, Bruce.
Right. So Social Security, and we're going to kind of tie in some Medicare topic with that and some required minimum distributions, or RMDs as they're nicknamed, and kind of how they pull together. But, you know, there's a lot of people don't realize this. There are a lot of really, really critical strategies that come into making those decisions. And we've got, you know, I'll kind of cover some bullet points on them, but we have some really good software that can help us fine tune and maximize folks' decisions on you know, all everything around the Social Security area and get that timed out.
But And when I, you know, when I talk to people and you just, you hear a lot of discussion on this, I mean, how many people are retiring a day? It's like 10,000 people or just some insane numbers like that of all the baby boomers kind of going through the system here. But, you know, there must be different strategies on when to consider, you know, taking Social Security. Should I do it right away, which is a lesser amount? Should I do it kind of at the normal kind of average time, which is the kind of the scheduled amount? Or should I push it out and wait longer if I can and get a higher amount?
Right. So in most situations, folks can start Social Security as early as age 62 at a greatly reduced amount they're going to get paid, because the longer you defer Social Security from starting it, it goes up at an 8% pace per year. And it's actually every month. So it's not like, you know, 1 year it jumps up 8%. It's like every single month, if you start halfway through, you're going to get 4% up for the middle of the year. And then it caps out at age 70. Now you're getting some cost of living adjustments. That because this last year, a lot of our listeners received a really nice increase in their Social Security checks because the inflation was so high, their cost of living or COLA adjustment was pretty high. But yeah, most people, they're going to be age 62 at the earliest point. And then your full retirement age. So when you get your Social Security statement, it's going to give you an estimate of what it is at age 62, and then at full retirement, and then at 70. And then some of the newer statements now are showing you kind of year by year what your expectation would be. But the full retirement age is really all about the age you can start taking Social Security and still work and not receive a penalty for making too much money. You know, this year it's, you know, roughly $21,000 that if you were starting Social Security early before your full retirement age, then you would pay a 50% penalty on everything you made above that. Mm. If you're born after age 60, then 1960,
yeah.
then 67 is your full retirement age before 1960. Then it's a little bit, you know, younger than that. But
so I can't cash in until 67 is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, you and I both, although we're on the front end of that side of
yeah,
it.
But, that's yeah, right. That's yeah. right. Still a boomer, but yeah, we're 61 here.
Right. There are some exceptions. So there are some situations where if we have maybe somebody, unfortunately, maybe a widow or widower out there. There are some exceptions where they could start getting Social Security at age 60. There are some disability benefits that could kick in as well, some things like that, and some aid to dependent children, these type of items that are all kind of somewhat clustered in there. But but spending tax money, pre-tax money down is an important strategy. So when we look at somebody's overall financial picture, if they've got a lot of money sitting in pre-tax, you know, the money that they never pay tax on, like that they put in their 401k or mm-hmm. some kind of qualified retirement plan mm-hmm. or in an individual IRA, if they've got a big chunk of money there, there's times that we might want to, maybe they want to retire at age 64 or 65 or whatever it is and not planning on working. We might not want to start Social Security right away, and it might be to their advantage to actually start spending down some of that pre-tax money ahead of time, let that Social Security check keep cooking, you know, percolating until you actually turn on later at a higher check.
Yeah.
But that does a lot of things for us that actually diffuses what I call the RMD balloon note. And I'll talk about that a little bit further in a few minutes. But, you know, again, if you're working, you know, make sure that you're not starting Social Security before your full retirement age, or at least be aware of what that income cap is. The other strategy that's very important is that you may be able to convert some of that pre-tax money to a Roth, where you pay your taxes now, and then it becomes tax-free, and then it, you know, comes out tax-free and grows tax-free. In the meantime, there are some rules around that as well as a five-year rule. The first dollar in has to mature for 5 years before you start taking money out of your Roth IRA without getting a penalty.
Okay.
But that's important. And then the reason I talk about that balloon note later, if you don't spend down some of your pre-tax money and when you're forced to move it out in your required minimum distribution, that can really boost up your means test on your Medicare cost, the premium, right? And that's a two-year look back.
Well, okay.
So that's one thing that when we do the software planning and really, you know, look at the the strategies on that, it's not just amount of spreading the tax burden out and smoothing it out and trying to avoid some of these upper tax brackets. It's also, what is that Medicare premium going to cost you? So a lot of that goes into it. And you've got to think about the spouse. This is the last point I'll talk on this item. A lot of guys in our country, and I'm going to talk kind of generically here, a lot of times they were the one that had paid in the most of Social Security. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they didn't take off years for childbearing and things
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys, they want to start Social Security at age 62 as soon as they can. And the problem with that is that check at age 62 is about, you know, 40% less than what's going to be at age 70 if you left it alone.
Oh, wow.
And on average, we're going to die before our female, you know, partners in this example.
We live less. There's
right. Just, you know, statistics out there, right?
It
is
no
what it is, right?
It.
And not always, but it's the rule of big numbers.
I like to say it's because we do really dumb stuff when we're young. And, you know, it shaves a year or two off here or there. So
right,
driving 140, you know, down the street there went a year and jumping off the roof into the swimming pool and you hope it's deep enough to not hurt yourself. There went a couple of years. So I blame it on that.
Things happen. You know, in your case, playing in the band, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But imagine this. The guy starts Social Security at a younger age, at less money than he would have gotten. And if the wife didn't have as much Social Security check coming, and if the wife outlives the husband, then the survivor gets the better of the two checks. Not both, not average, it's the better of the two checks. Well, if the better of the two checks is 40% less than it should have been, we've got a lot of little ladies walking around that could have had more money and may have needed more money.
See, no one thinks about that.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you, no one thinks about that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a rough deal.
So if this is resonating with you and you're like, wait a minute. No one has told me about these sort of things. I'm telling you, reach out to Bruce Glenn. Bruce and his team can give you a second look, a free look, and a second opinion on what you're doing. And maybe, just maybe, you can improve your financial situation either a little bit or possibly drastically. Here's the phone number. Write it down, 913-563-7327. And it's the Glenn team at Infinitas, 913-563-7327, and ask for that second opinion and that evaluation. And Bruce, you've got the software program, and it sounds fairly easy, right? You would just request some information, then you would plug it into the program to see what this is looking like.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the callers want to call in and set up a time for us to talk, we can get some initial data over the phone and set up a virtual meeting and go through and show them that output, and then they've got a better understanding of what that can mean between, you know, doing, you know, without any strategy versus, you know, make some adjustments on what you're doing with your tax planning side of it and longevity and so on and so forth.
So do you work with a lot of folks in providing a second opinion and just get a second look, maybe a fresh look at their financial situation?
Oh, absolutely. And we don't charge anything for that. And then also we'll take a look at their current investments. And we can do, we have really great third-party independent research that can analyze their investments and, you know, how they're performing and how they the fees are inside of them, and a lot of things that people just don't know and can't see on their own. And when we educate them, we show them everything so they understand stuff.
All right. That's Bruce Glenn. He's the owner and CIO of the Glenn team at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. Bruce is also a fiduciary, and I think I want to talk about that after the break. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. Everyone qualifies for Social Security. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. Now back to our Senior Care Live question of the week. Everyone qualifies for Social Security. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. Bruce, guaranteed that caught some people off guard. So why doesn't everyone qualify for Social Security?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So in order to qualify for Social Security, you have to have worked, get 40 credits. So you get a credit per quarter that you work and pay into the Social Security system.
Okay.
So basically 10 years of work experience. And a lot of people, maybe they work for a union that doesn't participate in Social Security, or maybe they're a teacher. You know, there's just railroad, there's different
railroad
industries.
Railroad retirement,
out,
yeah.
Yeah, there's different programs out there, different companies that may not participate in Social Security. So if you don't have that, it might be a good idea to get that part-time work number up there at least enough to have your 40 quarters, because then you can at least qualify for Medicare.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense. So again, if all of this information is getting your attention, you're saying, hey, wait a minute. I've never heard about that, or no one's ever explained that to me. Well, maybe there's a reason. Okay. Get a second opinion with Bruce Glenn. Again, he's the owner and CIO of the Glenn team at Infinitas. Call this number, 913-563-7327, and just ask for your second opinion, and they will hook you up, and they'll do a great job for you. So, Bruce, you just almost kind of answered my next question. So how does Medicare and Social Security then work together?
Yeah, so it's basically you're paying into the system at the same time, and I'll pivot a little bit since we did kind of touch in on that. I happen to have your 40 quarters to get credit, but a lot of times folks want to retire early, and it is hard to retire early if you don't have health care, right? And not every insurance plan out there has COBRA allowed. I used to think that COBRA was automatic if you had a company's health care, but it's not true. But anyway, okay. Most of them do. So theoretically, if you wanted to retire maybe at 63 and a half, COBRA lasts for 18 months. If you have that available, you could retire 63 and a half, carry COBRA, where you're paying all the costs of it, but at least you have the group plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could get insurance on the marketplace if you wanted to. But at age 65, you have the 7 months to start, you know, Medicare, 3 months before your 65th birthday, the month you turn 65, and the 3 months after that. And I would recommend folks start applying for that on the front side of it, because this may come as a shock, but the government doesn't always move as fast as we like.
I am stunned.
I'm going to blow me down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So, and that's always a good idea. You've got 7 months. I've got all kinds of time. Well, you're going to blink and that 7 months is gone. So,
right.
So just open that door and just jump on that right away. So, okay. So how have the recent changes in the Secure Act 2.0 affected required minimum distributions or those RMDs from a tax point of view?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So there has been some changes there. And again, I've got a little trick to the trade for you here
okay,
as well.
Okay.
So for the longest time, age 70 and a half was the age that the government started saying that you need to start moving some of your amount of money out of your pre-tax bucket that they never got paid for on the tax side.
They want their money.
Want the tax money, right? So they started making you move some of your money out, and it's based on your age and how much money you had in all of your pre-tax buckets of money at the end of the prior year. Well, during COVID, they moved that out to age 72. And then last year in December, when they passed through about 94 lines of new policies out there, some are not even able to be done when the government's trying to force them through the systems. But anyway, they moved that to 73 if you're born before 1960. Mm. Now, for you and I, because we're born so much after 1960.
Exactly.
Yeah. For us, it'll be age 75 and at that point. So here's the little trick that people don't understand. In most situations, you can if you don't take possession of that money, so let's say you've got a $100,000 IRA and you have to move, say, 4% out of it this year. If you don't take possession of that money directly or some of that money directly, and let's say that you're philanthropic and you're going to give some money to your church or other charitable, that's a 501c3 type of an organization.
Yep.
If you don't take possession of it and the money moves directly from your custodian of your IRA to your non-for-profit, that money you're not paying the taxes on, and they don't pay taxes either.
Hmm.
But you satisfied your requirement to move that money out of the tax shelter.
So if you don't do that and you receive the money, you're taxed on it.
Right.
And then if you say, hey, let's donate to our church, or like you said, our favorite charity, then you got taxed on it. You have less money to donate and you make your donation. So you're saying you can basically go around all of that and just have the money donated directly and avoid taking taxes out of it.
In most situations, yeah. I'm not a licensed CPA,
I don't want
to go over my skis here. But yes, that's basically how it works.
Okay, and have the changes had any impact on Medicare?
So here's the degree that the Medicare, it kind of ties back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. Your Medicare is the premium you pay is a means-based premium, meaning how wealthy are you, how much income do you have?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on income, and it's a two-year look back. So
Okay. Let's
say, for example, you had not pre-spent down some of your taxable money, your IRA money, your 401k money, and kind of smooth that out. And now you've got what I call a balloon note. Now all of a sudden at age 73 or 75, you've got this massive amount of money in pre-tax money. And so your required amount to move out is a big money number. It's going to hit you into a higher tax bracket, but it's also going to affect the premium you're paying for your Medicare. And that number sticks with you for a couple of years. So somebody may want to say, hey, I'm going to pay off my house, or I'm going to buy a truck, or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And it may not be the best idea to take all the money out at one shot, because it's going to affect a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
what has this this silent ripple effect that will come back to bite you?
it is.
It'll cost you more money. And then before the break, I asked, I made a comment about a fiduciary, and this is why I encourage everyone to reach out to the Glenn team at Infinitas. What is a fiduciary and why is that important?
Right. So a fiduciary, there's a lot of things that go into the definition. I'll just cover some bullet points here. So fiduciary basically means that you're working for your client's best interest. You're on the same table with them. You're only getting paid one way, and you get paid the same way whether you give them this type of an investment or a different type of investment. You're not a captive agent with proprietary product.
Mm-hmm.
You're not working for a firm that gets kickbacks for pushing all their clients' monies into a few fund companies that give them revenue sharing, quote,
wow,
that's actually kickbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things out there in the financial world that are not to the client's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
But you do want to work with a fiduciary that's working for your best interest.
Well, and I've always loved that idea, kind of a broker that can represent a large number of companies and a large number of different investments, different types of investments, and you're not depending on a commission from a particular company or particular product. You're working in your client's best interest, and when they do better, you do better, and it's you're in it as a team.
Exactly right, and if the markets were down like last year, then we're affected the same way.
All right. Bruce Glenn, owner and CIO of the Glenn team at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. Give him a call. You will love it. All right, Bruce, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Pleasure as always.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. And we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Quite frankly, I thought I was done talking about this, but I guess not.
And now, Senior Care in the News. A news report from Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting.
All right. So this is from CBS News. New COVID variants, EG5, FL151, and BA286 are spreading. And this is from, again, CBS News, August the 21st. Health authorities say they're closely tracking the spread of three new COVID-19 variants now spreading around the country. Levels of COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths for now remain far below previous peaks seen during last summer and winter waves of the virus. Public health officials have said that they're well equipped for the latest seasonal uptick in the virus. And that's really good news, right? I mean, that's really positive, nice news. But the appearance of the, and I'm putting my air quotes up, highly mutated variant has raised questions among virus trackers about what the coming months could hold. All right, so enter the fear-mongering. This is the part that just, I'm my blood pressure's going up. So I feel like, enter the fear-mongering, I feel like we should put some music in there. Dum, 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 right? I mean, it's just, here we go. Here we go again. So there are two that are fairly prevalent, and one, the highly mutated variant, that is not as widespread for now. Authorities have also been tracking the new highly mutated strain of the virus called BA286, but its prevalence remains, listen to this, remains too small to show up on the CDC estimates. It's that insignificant today. With only a handful of cases spotted around the world, including one in Michigan. The sole case in Michigan was an older adult with mild symptoms, and the patient has not been hospitalized, according to a spokesperson from the State Department of Health and Human Services. Now, COVID symptoms appear to be largely the same. There has been no evidence of increased disease severity from the new EG5 strain, says the WHO. Now, in Denmark, health officials said that there are three cases of the highly mutated BA286 variant had symptoms, quote, normally seen from other strains of COVID-19. So it's the same old, same old. Now, a virus's job is to stay alive and keep itself alive, and it does that by mutating itself. And to prove that fact, the new, quote-unquote, highly mutated version of COVID-19, the COVID BA286, has mutated 36 times, 36 mutations and counting. So the virus is doing its best to stay alive, and that's its job. But now the mainstream media seems to be trying to stir the pot again they so desperately want to become intoxicated again with their newfound power. Control through fear. And I can see it. It's starting to work. They're talking about the new variant as if the sky is falling. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing a lot of people wearing masks again. Literally out of the blue. Click, boom. Last week, I saw two people driving down the street in their car wearing masks in their car. So, friends, this stuff is not going away. We're just going to have to live with this, just like we live with the common cold, and just like we live with the annual various strains of influenza. And unfortunately, there will be tens of thousands of people who will die from the common cold and influenza, just like we have every single year. And unfortunately, we're going to have to add more deaths every year due to COVID. I just think it's going to be part of the norm. But there is no need to go into panic mode. Okay, there's no reason whatsoever to lock down the population. I'm already hearing that the schools are considering bringing back the mask mandates and implementing learning online and not even having classes because, the danger of this highly changed variant. When we have a case in Michigan and very few cases around the world, highly mutated. Ooh, the sky is falling. There's no need for all of the utterly insane stuff that we all had to live through in 2020 and 2021. There's no need. And now I'm hearing about the possibility of many large cities who were seriously, and I'm not even kidding, they're seriously talking about lockdowns. Why? Why? Why would you do that? There's no need for it. I'm going to get into another offshoot of this whole topic some other time, not today. But like I've said from the very beginning, if you are a high-risk individual due to health issues, take appropriate steps to protect yourself. It's just that simple. And everyone else, go about your business. Let's all just take precautions and use some common sense and move on living our fullest lives. Let's just move on and live our lives to the fullest. And we got to move on, folks. We just got to move on. Okay. And then you maybe get tired of me talking about this, but listen, when I see this, I feel the intense need to share this information with you. And so here we go again.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
All right, here we go. Be very careful of where you get your advice. How many times have I said that? But a lot. So I met with a really nice family, and I'm working with them and helping them find long-term care for their mother. And they're spending $5,000 a month out of their own pocket, adding to her income to keep her in assisted living. And here's the bottom line is they have spent so much money, they just can't afford to pay this any longer. So I'm helping them find some quality long-term care options so that they can transition her to long-term care and then apply for Medicaid to help her pay for the majority of the cost of her care. Right? Very, very simple and straightforward. But then they told me they had spoken previously with a senior advisor from one of these free referral services. And that person said, quote, "Your mom can't qualify for Medicaid because she makes too much money. Her income is too high," end quote. And when they told me that, I gasped. I'm like, are you kidding me? She has less than $2,000 in liquid assets. She qualifies, period. her income is way less than the cost of a shared room in long-term care. She qualifies. I inform them that the person they spoke with has very clearly demonstrated that they have literally not a single clue about what they're talking about. And here's the scary thing. That senior living advisor is out there today, right now, misinforming the public. And people are listening to them and they believe them. And they're out marketing and out in the market just educating the public. But they have no clue what they're talking about. That's why I'm running this consumer alert. And they're providing incorrect information and advice. And remember, they are free to you because they don't work for you. Let me say that again. These free referral services are free to you because they don't work for you. So, want to know my recommendation? Don't get your information from a person that doesn't work for you. Get your information from someone who does work for you. Get your advice for someone who is educated and from someone that actually knows what they're talking about.
Proceed with caution. This has been a Consumer Alert brought to you by Senior Care Live.
All right, and coming up next, I'm going to shift gears and talk to you about what not to take to your senior living community. Don't go away.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So on the break, I was like, I kind of feel like I was a little grumpy and kind of preachy and yelling a little bit in that segment. And our producer, the extraordinary Mr. Darren Wilhite, he was shaking his head. And he's like, well, with all that, yeah, you kind of need to be a little bit loud. I mean, that's pretty incredible stuff. So anyway, again, shifting gears. When I work with a client with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, and I've talked a lot about it before, go through that whole search and selection process with our clients to help them make an informed decision and move forward with confidence and feel good about the choices that they make. That's huge. It's everything. All right, so we are honored to help our clients through that process. And the culmination of that process is a report that has a wealth of information, objective, data-driven, verified information on our top communities meeting our exact needs. Now, as part of that report package, in the back of it, some additional helpful information. One of the pieces that I include is what I call strategies on how to maximize care at any senior care community that you should choose. I think it's number 7 is what not to take with you to your senior care community. All right. So with that, a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of working with this wonderful family. I helped them find a great place that would provide care for both of their parents, their mom and their dad. And then their father passed away. And now mom has then transitioned to the assisted living part of the community. So my client recently called. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Do you remember me? Absolutely. Absolutely. How are you doing? How's everything going? So we were chatting, and she asked me a question. She said, do you think it's a good idea to let mom wear her really expensive jewelry to the assisted living community? I'm like, no. No, it's a terrible idea. Don't let her do it. And she's like, really? Really? Well, I agree with you, but we're having a hard time trying to convince mom not to wear her, and we're talking some high dollar jewelry here. And so I shared with her a couple of stories that I thought I would share with you and just put this in to demonstrate why you don't do that. You don't take expensive stuff and personal stuff, a value of high value to with you to any senior care community. So I worked with some clients. They went to this particular place and everything was going fine. And then one day they hired an aide, a CNA to work, you know, there. The CNA passed all the background checks and all the stuff and then appeared to be doing a good job. Well, as it turns out, she befriended a lady who was wearing some really expensive stuff. And then you know where this is going. So then one day the family comes in. They're like, wait a minute. Where are mom's pearls? Where are her rings and all of her other jewelry and her bracelets and all that? Where did they go? She just had them yesterday. Where did they go? So they were missing and they immediately notified the staff, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone jumped into action. As it turns out, this lady was not very smart. She stole all the jewelry from this poor elderly woman who had dementia. And walked a block down the street in her uniform with her name badge on and pawned all of the jewelry for cash and took off. So people from this community went down. They thought, well, maybe. And then they, oh, yep, sure enough, there she is. They had to buy the jewelry back from the pawn shop, by the way, to give it back to the family. And then, of course, the police were called, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so again, bad idea. Another story. Several years ago, there was a group of foreign workers that came to the United States to work, and they had work visas, and they were working in senior care. And unknown to anyone at the time, they formed a criminal ring of staff working at several senior care communities around the Kansas City area. And guess what they did? They all stole the identity of many, many residents. I'm not sure how many, a bunch. Social security numbers off of social security cards that they had right there in their room. Driver's license, their numbers. And guess what's on your driver's license? The exact way that you spell your name and your date of birth. And then there was the ringleader of this group. And then he fraudulently filed tax returns. And they made tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars doing this. And then fortunately, they were caught. Now, that's two really negative examples of how your stuff can all of a sudden just be gone. But then here's another more benign example. So you could have a resident living there with some dementia and you have some confusion with that. It is very common for an elderly person with dementia just to go just wandering about. They're just walking around. They're walking in and out of everyone's rooms and that kind of thing. They could walk into your room and see your $5,000, $10,000 Rolex watch sitting there on your end table or on your dresser and think, oh, there's my watch. And they put it on and then they walk away because they found their watch. Now, they're not, God bless them. It's the dementia talking. They didn't steal your watch. They're confused and they thought it was their watch. That could happen as well. Okay. So with my how to maximize your care at any care community that you should choose, with those strategies, again, I include that as part of our report package. Item number 7, what not to take to your senior care community. Don't do it. Now, my grandpa, and God rest his soul and God bless him, he had dementia. He was raised when you talk about dirt poor. My grandma told me these stories. They said they were so poor for dinner. They would dig some potatoes and they would wait for the hens to cackle so that they could go out and get a couple of eggs to have with their potatoes. And that was dinner. That fed a family. Okay. They were poor. So later on in life, my grandpa always carried $200-$300 of cash in his wallet. I think it made him feel secure. And I think that was born from coming from nothing and having a little bit of money. So when I took him to assisted living, I knew he was going to be looking for money in his wallet. So I took a bunch of ones and put them in there, about 10 ones, just to make him feel like he had some money. Replace that $10,000 strand of pearls with some costume jewelry. Do whatever you got to do, but don't just be smart about this stuff and do not take anything of high value to a senior care community. Trust me on that. You will thank me for that later. All right. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.